The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
When the days were completed for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph took Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, in accordance with the dictate in the law of the Lord. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory for your people Israel." The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted. And you yourself, a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." There was also a prophetess, Anna, daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at that very time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord. And so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Once again, rise and shine, everybody. And welcome back. Welcome to the Feast of the Presentation of the Lord. Here's a feast day. It's very rare we ever celebrate this on a Sunday. Only happens about once every 5 to 10 years. Presentation of the Lord is a feast day that has been known by many names. It used to be known as the Feast of the Purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And it's one of just a handful of feast days that has its own nickname. This day is also sometimes known as Candlemas, right? Because we bless the candles that are used at Mass. That's what I was doing in the back of the church before we made the procession in. But it's been 40 days since we celebrated Christmas together. And the Feast of the Presentation of Jesus recalls the fact that 40 days after a woman gave birth to her firstborn son in the days of our Lord in Jerusalem, she would come up to the temple to dedicate that child to God and to undergo a ceremony of ritual purification for temple worship. Now, when you celebrate the Feast of the Presentation of Jesus, you got to make sure that you don't think that this is just another cute little day in the life of baby Jesus. Okay, because the meaning of the Feast of the Presentation, it's found in the Old Testament. So let me try to help you to understand. Okay, first thing we have to do is to remember what the temple in Jerusalem is. And I've told you this before, but let me just jog your memory. The temple in Jerusalem is not the same thing as a synagogue. Right? There are synagogues all over the place. Synagogue is just a meeting house. It's a place where you meet for prayer. Synagogues all over the place, but there's only one temple. Or maybe I should say there was only one temple in Jerusalem that was destroyed by the Romans in ancient days. And the temple was considered to be the dwelling place of God on earth. And it's been that way from the very, very beginning. Okay, so the story starts back in the first book of Kings, when King Solomon of old built the first temple in Jerusalem. The book of Kings says that when they dedicated the temple, the glory of God descended down upon the temple in the form of a cloud that descended from the heavens. It must have been some kind of a miracle, right? The presence of God visibly among his people, God's dwelling in our midst. But you know how things go. Passing of time, passing of years, people have a way of falling away from their first love, from their earliest commitments. And people began to fall away from the covenant, and love in the hearts of men began to grow cold until it got so bad that the prophet Ezekiel said, "The glory of the Lord has left the temple. It's gone." And soon after he said that, the temple was destroyed by the Babylonians, and all the people were taken away into exile. And they came back from exile and they built the temple again, but the glory of God never returned to the temple. And the people of Israel longed for the day when one day God would return to his temple. They longed for it almost as much as they longed for the coming of the Messiah itself. Okay, so with that as a background, let's go back to what you heard in the first reading from the book of the prophet Malachi. Malachi says, "Suddenly there will come to the temple the Lord whom you seek." What is that? It's a prophecy. One day, God's going to come back to the temple. Malachi, the last prophet of the Old Testament, last book of the Old Testament. Turn the page from the last book of Malachi, and it's the Gospel of Matthew. It's the New Testament. And the last prophecy is that one day God's going to return to the temple. And what do we celebrate again on the Feast of the Presentation of Jesus? It's the fulfillment of the prophecy. God has returned to the temple. Remember, Jesus was conceived in Nazareth. He was born in Bethlehem, but this is the first time he's ever been to the temple in Jerusalem. That's why Simeon of old rejoices, because he's waited his entire life to see this day. That's why we heard the psalm response that we heard, Psalm number 24, "Gates, lift high your heads. Grow higher, ancient doors. The King of glory enters." What doors? What gates? It's the temple that they're talking about, right? That's fulfilled this day. But I'll tell you what nobody saw coming, none of the prophets imagined. That when that great day came and the glory of God returned to the temple, that he would come in the form of a little baby. Nobody saw that coming. And not only that, but so poor that he comes from a family that can't even afford to offer a proper temple sacrifice. You're supposed to offer a lamb when you offer your firstborn in the temple. Unless you're so poor you can't afford a lamb, in which case the book of Leviticus says you can offer a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, which is what we hear offered. So that's the Feast of the Presentation of Jesus. Let's talk a little bit about what that means for us, okay? So the temple in Jerusalem was a place of right praise. That's what it was. It was a place where God and man were reconciled to one another. In fact, they used to call the temple the second Garden of Eden. And if we could all hop into a time machine together and fly back to see the temple in Jerusalem for ourselves, you'd find that it was decorated from top to bottom with images of creation. A second Garden of Eden. Why did they call the temple a second Garden of Eden? Because the Garden of Eden was the last place in the Bible in which God and man were reconciled to one another, where they walked side by side in the evening twilight. It was said that if you offered sacrifice in the temple, you were reconciled to God. Interesting word, reconcile. You know how I love words. Interesting word, reconcile. You know, you go to the etymology of reconcile, and you go to that Latin root, conciliare. Literally, it means to be eyelash to eyelash with somebody. What's it mean when you're reconciled with an enemy? What's it mean when you're it means you're eyelash to eyelash, once again, gazing eye to eye. That's what it means to be reconciled to God. That's what Jesus has come to do for us. To make us once again eyelash to eyelash with God. So the question for you here this morning is, do you think that's easy to do? Do you think that's something that's going to come cheap? After all of the sins of all of mankind down through the ages, to be eyelash to eyelash with God? No, no. You know that's not going to be easy. That's not going to be cheap, right? It cost our Lord his life to reconcile us to God. And Jesus said, if you'd be my follower, you have to take up your cross and follow me. It's going to cost us. It's going to cost us a burden of suffering as well to do so. Okay? So that's why you hear Malachi back in the first reading saying that when God returns to his temple, right? When that reconciliation takes place, when we're as innocent in God's presence as a newborn baby, Malachi says, who is going to be able to endure that? It's going to be like the refiner's fire. It's going to be like the fuller's lye. You know how it is with refining of silver. You don't just place it in the flame to refine silver. You place it in the hottest part of the flame to remove everything from the silver that's unworthy, every bit of dross, every bit of impurity. It hurts. Or like the fuller's lye. I'm not sure if you know what a fuller is, right? But just in case you don't know what a fuller is, I'll tell you. A fuller was someone who took the wool off of a sheep and turned it into cloth that you could make and weave into clothing. Now, you just try to imagine this. Take the wool off a sheep. What's that smell like? Okay? Not very good. You take the wool off a sheep. It's full of oil, it's full of dirt, it's full of sweat, it's full of salt. And to get all of that out, he had to apply an ammonium. It was kind of like an ancient bleach. And they say it stunk to high heaven to take the wool off of a sheep and to make it pure and clean and soft the way it's meant to be. That is what it takes for us to be reconciled to God. What has to be removed out of our souls? Everything that's not worthy of the Lord. Every sin, every bit of selfishness, every bit of pretense, every bit of falsehood, everything that's not what God created you to be, so that we can be in God's presence as innocent, pure, and without guile as a newborn baby. Pure as silver, pure as gold, pure as a soft lamb's wool. And it's going to hurt. The only reason I say this is so that when it happens, you might remember this feast day, and you will not forget why it happens. From the loving hand of God's providence, he forms us and fashions us and makes us worthy of himself. What Simeon said to Mary and Joseph on the Feast of the Presentation, we should take those words to heart too, because those are words that are said to us. He says of Jesus, behold, this child is destined for the rise and the fall of many, a sign that will be opposed. And isn't it interesting? Of all the names under heaven, what's the one name that is most opposed? I mean, it's the name of Jesus Christ. You know, you might have noticed in your life, you can't go to a cocktail party and just sort of casually mention the name of Jesus Christ. It's opposed, right? It's not welcome. Unless everybody in the party is a Catholic, right? Something like that. It's not welcome. It's opposed. You can't mention the name of Jesus Christ in polite company or in the public square or in Hollywood or in government. Can I tell you a little story? Okay, a little story. Once upon a time, they asked me to offer the opening prayer to a joint legislative session of the State House in Maryland. not in Virginia, in Maryland. And I said, hey, great. Yeah, sure, I'll be happy to offer the opening prayer. I'm honored. And they said, great, there's just one little condition. I said, what's that? And they said, you can't mention the name of Jesus Christ. And I said, what? And they said, yeah, you can't mention the name of Jesus Christ. And I said, well, then I can't do your prayer. You invite a Catholic priest to come and give a prayer. I'm going to pray like a Catholic priest, right? I never did give that prayer. I never did give that prayer. But isn't it interesting? It made me wonder, how many other names do they single out that you can't mention in a prayer? Why is the name of Jesus Christ opposed? Simeon of old foretold that. And because you publicly identify with him, don't be surprised when you are opposed. It's not you they're after. It's him. But it hurts, doesn't it? It's not easy at all. He says, a sword of sorrow will pierce your heart. Of course, Simeon was talking to the Blessed Mother about what it would be like for her on the day Jesus died on Calvary. That it was so painful to watch her son die, it might have been just as though she herself was the one who died. We call the Blessed Mother the Queen of Martyrs. But she never died a martyr's death. We call her that because on the day of Calvary, she suffered so much watching Jesus die on the cross, it might as well have been a martyr's death. And something like that, brothers and sisters, it's going to happen to all of us. You're going to get your cross. It's going to be fashioned, custom-made, just for you. But from the hands of a God who knows you, loves you, and is giving this to you to purify us, all of us, to make us worthy of him, to bring us eyelash to eyelash with him, to reconcile us to him in a happiness that will never be taken away. But I tell you this so that when it happens, you might remember this feast day, and you will not lose sight of why it happens. You know, on this feast day, we bless the candles that we use for Mass. You ever wondered why we use candles at Mass? I mean, aren't the lights good enough? Why do we have to use candles? You don't want to know why we use candles at Mass? It's because a candle is a symbol of Christ. It spends itself down to nothing, giving off light and heat for others. In a sense, it spends its life dying for the good of somebody else. And if it doesn't die, so to speak, it's not doing what it was created to do. As it is with a candle, so it is with the Lord. And as it is with the Lord, so it must be for you and me as well, as we persevere in loving trust. Prophet Malachi said, "Then the sacrifice of Judah will please the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the years gone by." May our sacrifice as well, accepted with love and faith, be pleasing to the Lord, that the light of Christ might shine through you and me as well. Amen.